The following program contains material not suitable for children, adults, or childish adults.
Are you ready?
Pretend you like it, no matter how bad it stinks.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Bagels Plus. With over 18 different varieties of bagels, come in today for fresh and hot homemade goodness. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. Aches Place, 134 Church Street, Burlington. And now, it's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. Yes, Sports Saturday, another local show here in Chittenden County. I'm Bernie Siplicki taking the lead today, filling in for Jeff Paul, who will get to his itinerary for the week in a few minutes. Filling in for me, Jason, great job on the Sports Center.
Thank you. And you liked it? I played it twice. Boss told me to do that, and you're the boss.
I am so happy you did that, because the man on the board is a little disgruntled this week. The great Yankee fan, Dave Hunter, who didn't like reach out to me at all this week. How's that? How you doing, Dave? What's going on? You're a little frustrated?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens when your Yankees are losing and my Red Sox are winning. And, you know, just in case you forgot, the Red Sox are now 3 games up on the Yankees.
This silly kids game.
Silly kids game. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yankees are 1.5 up on the Rays.
Now we're talking.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what a show we have lined up today. If you want to chime in, please feel free. You have a couple of ways on the TikTok Jewelers guest line at 802-655-6672 or the Town Fair Tire text line at 655-6672. Love to hear any input you want to talk about, whether it's NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, anything that's going on today.
Want to just make fun of Dave? That's fine.
Where's our regular host? Is he out again? Where's Hollywood?
Let's get through our guest, and then we'll bring it back to the founder of the lead chair, Jeff Paul, in a moment. We can have some fun at his expense.
We're gonna like pick on him because he's bald.
Who knows? We haven't seen him in a long time, so he could have some hair growing. So, but 10:20, we have Jake Assman, co-host of the Assman and Budick Show, coming on at talk a little New York sports. Then at 11:20, Jack Cordy from NBC up here. We're going to talk a little Shrine football.
That's NBC 5.
Yes, NBC 5 at 11:20. And then at 11:35, Red Sox insider Bill Murphy. So we're going to touch a little bit upon everything. But before we get into sports, you know, and I start picking on Jeff, you know how, like, when it just kind of rains, it pours. You know, you were getting picked on about your farmer's market exhibition.
If you haven't heard that promo, I could have eaten more. I just ran out of money.
Well, and big time Arnie couldn't, you know, front you a little something.
He only had $3 bills, and they don't accept monopoly.
So, you know, today, my kids left to go to Syracuse to go visit my brother, and last night, my wife, because I don't pack, you know, was doing all the packing. So I'm like, how can I help out? What can I do to chime in instead of sit around and enjoy cocktail hour at 5 o'clock? Maybe I should do something useful.
I don't know, but maybe.
Okay, so I'm like, I'm going to mow the lawn. And, you know, this is, you know, I don't like mowing the lawn. It was hot and was, you know, so get going. And I go into the, like, kind of the back corner where we have this, like, rose bush or whatever it is, because I don't have a green thumb. And I kind of slip, and the lawnmower goes into, like, the mulch. And the next thing I know is I just get this unbelievable pain in my feet. I ran over a in-ground bee's nest, and they came out, and they were flying, and they were stinging. And I'm in the back corner of the house, so, like, turn the lawnmower off, and it was something like straight out of a movie. I'm running. I'm going, Betsy, my wife, Betsy, help, help, like ready to cry. And she's like, she didn't know what to do because she thought like a dog was getting attacked. Yes, exactly, Dave. I was just whining and crying. I felt like, you know, like when Fred Flintstone starts the car and, you know, you got it like those short little pitter patter. Yeah, that's how it was. It took me like forever to get from the corner of my garage inside the house. But, you know, it was the end of that. So now my wife is doing the nice thing and finishing the lawn today for me.
So you walked into this bee's nest, right?
Not on purpose.
No, but you did. Did you get stung?
8 times, 4 in each foot, right around the ankle and the Achilles. Awful.
Did you pull out the stingers or do you just?
Yeah, they were there, and it was great because like when I went inside to the house, like the bee was still attached to the stinger, so we were pulling bees and the stingers out. It was great. It was just wonderful.
Get some honey at least.
No. They died instantly when they stung me because of that.
Did you have an Achilles injury?
Did I have an Achilles injury?
Yeah, didn't you injure your Achilles like recently?
I mean,
you were limping around here.
Yeah, that's gout.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that from drinking?
Eating too much meat?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, if, you know, you really do need a drink.
Where should I go?
Esox, 194 Main Street across from the Divorce Court in Burlington. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Shameless plug. So you know, that was a tough experience for me last night. And but here we are today. We're gutting through it, you know.
I got to tell you, I care more about that story than Steph Curry playing golf. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. That's a joke. But how about our man Jeff Paul? What a week this guy's had.
I don't even know. He's not here.
He's down in Rutland. So Monday he works. Tuesday he plays in a golf tournament. Wednesday he goes to that rainout game in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, he went down there, sat in a box, goes down there. At least he probably, you know, ate and drank more than the Yankees offense showed up.
You think he stayed for the end?
He couldn't. He had to.
Why?
Because of Monica?
No, she was with him, but they were on like this bus. I don't know. They went and he said it was a very impressive rainstorm.
Yeah, I saw him on Facebook. It was a luxury box.
Wow.
They
okay.
give you free ice cream.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How about, did he bring down any Romanto's pizza? Try to get a gig
over there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Down? Okay.
You know.
He tried to sneak a few slices in. They said your prices are too affordable for the stadium.
Too affordable. Probably the first time we've heard that about his pizza.
I think it's affordable. It's great. I love the calzones.
Yes. Yes. Good stuff. Can't go wrong there. So that's Wednesday. He comes back. He works Thursday. Yesterday, he goes plays golf with his dad. They win their match in this tournament in Rutland. Today, he's playing golf again. And then he's got his 25th high school reunion tonight. So I tell you, must be nice to be your own boss and be able to
really,
have this
huh?
flexibility.
Yeah. Well, so, how much, honestly, have you been doing? You work at a school, so it's a summer. So are you working during...
Yeah, man, football starts on the 14th, so we're putting nets together, we're putting goals together, we're getting ready to go, man. I'm always working. I'm always busy.
Yeah, just making sure.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just you know, I don't have time to go to these farmers markets and hang out and, you know, eat food and stuff like that.
You go. It was after the show.
It was after the show?
Oh. I didn't do the show last week. That's why I had time to go, but it was... By the time I went, it was after the show.
Okay.
You could have met me down there.
I didn't get an invite.
That's on me. You're right. Yeah, I came in. You were like, are you hungry? And I'm like, yeah. You're like, oh, you shouldn't be.
Yeah, right. You shouldn't be. I mean, from what Arnie said you consumed at the farmer's market, it was just... What was that again? Can you go over that for me one more time?
Okay, so I had a strawberry lemonade, a sausage sandwich, 3 samosas.
Huh?
Samosas are like... It's like a triangle pocket of it had broccoli and cheese in it. One had chicken and cheese in it.
Like, are they big or are they little?
They're I don't know. They're a decent size.
Like
they're
more one size. One bite, 2 bite, 3 bite,
three bites. I probably do it in 2.5.
Okay, so they're not that big then.
No, but yeah, I don't have manners sometimes. What else did I have? Let's see. I had a donut.
Okay.
I'm missing
you're missing a couple of bigger items, I think.
So, okay, sausage sandwich. Oh, pork sandwich.
Yeah,
sausage
the
sandwich.
Pork, yeah.
3 samosas, strawberry lemonade, a donut, a macaroon. And I was still kind of hungry.
You're still kind of hungry. And you got something flu-y over there today. What's that?
Oh, I make my egg puffs.
Eggs puffs.
Egg puffs.
Yeah, so it's like scrambled eggs for lazy people. I just, you know, make the scrambled egg batter, just put it in the muffin cups and just it puffs up, and I eat it throughout the week. But
oh, wow. Interesting.
It's pretty good. It features goat cheese from the farmer's market, by the
way. Okay. Like, do you put different stuff in it, or do you put the same stuff?
This one has squash and goat cheese.
Squash and goat cheese and scrambled eggs?
Yeah. Don't knock it until you try it.
I'll give
you some, but I want to eat all of them.
No, that's all right. I'm good. I'll give you the cheese. I'm not afraid with a little cheese on my scrambled eggs, but squash?
It's good.
That's really?
Good. Yeah.
Really? So what's your ideal omelet then?
Lots of bacon, lots of cheese, lots of sausage. Do I get unlimited toppings here?
Do you get on the show? It's an omelet, man. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, sausage, bacon, like four types of cheese, some broccoli, some home fries, some toast.
Well, but the home fries and toast don't go in the omelet. We're talking what goes in the omelet.
That's true. I'm really hungry, in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah, you can't wait for our first break to devour that. I'm surprised you didn't go after it earlier because of the because it looked good, but it was just too hot.
I had to do some work for the show first.
What was that?
I had to, make us the rundown. I had to write the Sports Center. Some of us have things to do, so I couldn't just come in and have breakfast, have a cup of coffee. I had to do some work.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
My pleasure. But when the first break comes, I'm going
to
devour.
You're
going to
devour that.
Yeah.
We might have to time to see how long it takes you to eat the.
I got my water here. I'm going to dip it in water.
Oh, a little Kobayashi style. Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Dave, how about you, man? How's life? How's life down at ESOX?
It's classified.
It's classified?
Yeah.
All right. How was...
No ruckus
you
last
wanna
night?
Find out. You're going to have to come down there yourself.
Come on now, Dave. I'm an old man.
Yeah, I know, but you've been there before.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Remember who paid for your beverage?
I tipped the bartender well.
Okay. I'm just wondering if you remember who paid.
Of course I remember.
Because I'm a nice guy.
You are, even though...
Were you working behind the bar? You didn't pay for it. You just didn't charge
him. No, he was dressed up. He had the suit, the tie. He was looking good.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
Just ask me.
I know. It's interesting. He hasn't really... You haven't reached out to me this week because of the, the Yankees.
I've been
struggling.
Busy.
You haven't been busy.
No.
No, you're just frustrated and grumpy. Yeah. You're complaining about Judge's stance, his swing,
he's
the lineup.
Back a bit.
You want Joe Girardi fired.
You want to see my lineup?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
give us the lineup.
Yeah, if I were, I think they need some shaking up offensively. The Yankees still.
Why? Yeah. They're hitting the ball really well.
No, they're not. Not at all. But I go into the realms of psychology when I like Billy Martin used to. He held back Reggie Jackson from the four hole. In 1978.
From the what?
From 1978.
Yeah.
They kept him out of the four hole. That's the
cleanup?
The power. Yeah, the cleanup slot.
Okay.
Yes. God, you got a sick mind.
What are you talking about?
I know what you were thinking.
Oh, David.
So anyway, they kept him out of the four slot all year until the Boston Massacre. And then Billy Martin said, okay, now. And that's when it all happened. And do I have to go over that again?
No, you don't.
Just in case you were wondering, the Yankees were 14 and a half games back on July 16th, and they ended up winning the World Series. And it went through they didn't have any wild card back in those days. And after 162 games, Yankees Red Sox were tied.
They had the playoff game.
They had one playoff game, yeah.
Yeah. Do you like the wild card?
He's dead.
Deep to left.
A little payback. You like that?
It's no. Home run! A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. And look at that Yankee bench.
It's amazing, but that's the day ESOX opened up at 194 Main Street across from the Divorce Court in Burlington.
And I guess that's where the power of the board and having the last word is.
No, I haven't even got to the lineup yet.
You haven't got to the lineup? Well, we don't have much time. You got to tell me. You got to go to a break soon.
All right.
Don't
we? Leading off.
Go ahead.
At DH, Judge. That gets him an extra at bat. It tells him, we don't want your home runs. We want you to get on base.
What's wrong with his stance?
He's not tilting his shoulders forward like he used to. He used to be very pronounced. What would you call that?
Back elbows up higher.
Back elbow up higher, at least the shoulder. Yeah. And he was used to go down on the ball. Now he's trying to swing up. He wants that 550 footer. Batting second, at first base. I can't believe I'm saying this because I was all ready to get him off the team, throw him away. Chase Headley. See, he hit like 381 in July. He's very hot. It gives him a little pride. He's batting second. He's got to do it. Left field, Gardner batting third, very hot, very clutch. And then at the number four slot is the catcher, Gary Sanchez. We're trying to build up his ego and tell him he is a stud because I think he's starting to lose his
tell you, the home run derby is killing those two guys.
Yeah, five slot, Didi, shortstop, right field, really Frazier, number six. As we start to, you have to back up Didi a little bit. And then we start to, do a lineup again with speed, hitting and power, kind of. Therese, second base. Todd Frazier, third base. And then Ellsbury in the nine hole because that's where he belongs. I'd like to put him right back on the Red Sox and you deal with him.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, yeah, it's funny. I got a Red Sox fan right now telling me that Aaron Judge is equal to Adam Dunn and Richie Sexton.
What do you mean, like a flash in a pan?
Yeah, just going to hit home runs and not be able to hit.
All right, let's go to break. This is just getting...
When we come back, we'll talk to Jake Assman, co-host of Assman and the Budick Show on Sports on the Go 1.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Call me daddy.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, everybody. I'm Bernie Siplicki filling in for Jeff Paul, Jason Wexler, riding shotgun, Dave Hunter on the board. If you want to chime in, please feel free to do so.
I'm the producer and engineer.
On the board, producing and engineering, David Hunter, disgruntled Yankee fan this morning. Thank you, Dave. Sorry for that clerical error on my behalf.
Pretty much Scotty of the Enterprise.
Yes, you are. And walking in, dressed in all Vermont gear, the legend himself, Brady Farkas. How are you, Brady?
Brady! Can we keep our job?
He's good. All right. So now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, we have Jake Assman, co-host of Assman and Budick Show. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. With so much to talk about, let's get right down to it. How are you feeling about the Jets?
I'm very optimistic. I think it's like 270 days until the NFL draft, so we're really looking forward to it.
Wow, 270 days to the NFL. Are you going to win any games, and are you tanking?
I mean, I think as a Jet fan, the only way you can go into the season is if they surprise, it means that Christian Hackenberg probably has played well. Maybe you found a franchise quarterback moving forward. But if they're going to be awful like everyone thinks they're going to be, at least you know. And ideally, you get a top pick, you find the quarterback, and you sacrifice this year. And and hopefully it ends up leading to a promising future if you get that guy in the draft. But it's the Jets, so they'll probably end up winning six or seven games somehow, some way, and they'll miss out on the next great quarterback because that's what usually happens.
Jake, do you want them to go 0-16?
If it's between 0-16 or 8-8, I guess I'd rather them be 0-16 and get the top pick in the draft so they can get a quarterback. But the only way I would not want them to just be awful is the condition that Christian Hackenberg or Bryce Petty play well, because if one of those guys actually play well, they're young quarterbacks, and then you have something to build upon moving forward. But Josh McCown, we know what he is. So if the Jets win four or five games and Josh McCown is playing most of the year for whatever reason, which I don't think will happen, then you're wasting your season because he's not your future. You need to find your future at that position. So if it's Hackenberg, Petty, or someone in the draft, they need to get an answer in one way, shape, or form.
And I just asked you if you want them to go 0-16, but does the screaming subside from you? Is it weird for you to be watching Jets games and knowing that they're going to lose? And are you still going to give people at Buffalo Wild Wings, when you go there to watch the games, a lot of trouble?
I will never go back there, first off, Jason. And I know you're very familiar with the Buffalo Wild Wings in the Ithaca area. They don't know how to put games on at a Buffalo Wild Wings, which is pretty remarkable. They have one job as a sports bar, and they don't know how to put the right channels on to watch NFL football. Besides the point, this Jets season, to me, I'm not going to get that upset if they lose because, expectations coming in, they're going to be awful. And if they're great, they'll surprise everyone. But I think at the same time, as a Jet fan, you just got to understand that you're not winning the division anyway. New England's still the best team in the league. And you know, it's about time the Jets finally invested in trying to find, you know, a top-tier quarterback. And until you find a quarterback the way the NFL is, I mean, you guys all know this, you can't win. You know, the days of being able to win where you just have a guy that could just game manage you and get you to a Super Bowl. You know, I know Peyton Manning did it a couple of years ago, but that was one of the best defenses we've ever seen with Denver. It just doesn't happen anymore. You need to go out there and you need to get a franchise quarterback. So until the Jets have it, you know, it's not worth screaming and yelling about. If they're going to be awful this year, so be it. They just better draft the right guy.
On the TikTok Jewelers guest line right now, we have Jake Asman, co-host of the Asman and Budick Show on Sports on the Go One. Jake, switching gears to the Yankees, Garcia got hit pretty hard last night. What do you think of the Yankees in their rotation right now and the state of it?
Rotation-wise, it's obviously improved. I know Garcia did not pitch that well, but he's brought in to be your four or five starter. So realistically, that's what you're going to get more times than not. I thought the other night, Sonny Gray, despite the fact the Yankees decided to not field for him in that first inning, the Yankees, you know, Sonny Gray is a good pitcher, and I thought he pitched well. Right now, though, it's not even the rotation I'm that concerned about, because if they can get four or five decent innings from our starter, you love their bullpen. They have guys in middle relief that can come in and bridge the gap to get you to Betances, Robertson, and Chapman. The issue for the Yankees right now has been they're not hitting. You know, the last couple of games, they've scored three runs. They're 1-for-17 in their last three games with runners in scoring position. They've struck out 31 times. You know, this is an offense that's really struggling because Judge is not hitting right now. Sanchez has really cooled off. You know, they're going through it with Matt Holliday, who's an aging player and hasn't been right. So, you know, we can always talk about the rotation, and I think it obviously improved with what Brian Cashman did at the trade deadline. But, you know, right now, unless the Yankees start hitting, they're not going to win very many games. You know, they've lost four in a row. The Red Sox at the same time have won four in a row. So this is a Yankees team right now that's really struggling to score any runs. And you can get the best pitching in the world, but if you don't score, you're not going to win any games.
And is it unrealistic to think, Jake, that Aaron Judge wouldn't have a stretch throughout the season where he's been struggling like he is now?
I think realistically you knew that in the second half. I don't know if he was going to be able to hit another 30 home runs like he did in the first half of the season. But right now, you look at him at the plate, he's chasing pitches out of the zone. That's one thing he hasn't done all year. The reason why he was able to hit 330, and this is a guy that, you know, was hit 179 when he got called up last year at the end of the season. You know, he wasn't chasing bad pitches. He was taking his walks, and you know, his walk rate has gone down. He's swinging that pitches outside of the zone. I think a lot of it's growing pains. I mean, this is a guy that has all the pressure in the world on him. He was playing every single day. Maybe he was tired. I don't know if it was the home run derby or just All-Star Week in general that maybe wore him down. But this is a guy that is a young player. When you rely on young players, this is kind of what happens. You know, the Yankees were built upon Judge being great and Gary Sanchez being great. And if they go through a slump and they have some injuries, or a guy like Matt Holliday's not hitting, and you're without Starlin Castro, who made the All-Star team, and Ellsbury's giving you nothing, and you lost Aaron Hicks, who was arguably one of your best players this year, you kind of go through it a little bit offensively. So I think the main thing for the Yankees is they got to get out of the slump sooner rather than later. And, you know, the way the pitching's improved in their bullpen, they should be able to win games. And, you know, obviously it comes down to the fact they got a hit. That's what it ultimately comes down to with this team.
Yeah, you know, it does. And Judge, who's been a great average guy that has been prone to strike out a lot. Do you think, because Jason and I were talking about this off air, I'm a big believer in the home run derby messing with guys' swings. And since the home run derby, Judge hasn't been the same. Any thoughts on that?
You know, I try to look at it from different ways than just saying, oh, the home run derby ruined his swing. But you know, if someone makes that point, if you guys make that point, it's hard to argue with it. You know, we'll never actually know, obviously. But I think you look at Aaron Judge, and you know, one of the things that's concerning to me is just the strikeouts. As I was saying before, this was a guy that, yeah, he was striking out a lot compared to maybe a normal player, but he was also the only guy that was going to strike out more than 200 times in a year that was hitting 330. So this is a guy that obviously has chased a lot of bad pitches out of the zone. I think he's 12-for-69 with 30 strikeouts in the 20 games the Yankees have played since the All-Star break. So this is a guy that has not played well, but at the same time, realistically, you didn't expect him to do what he did in that first half. But if he can give you maybe 70% of what he did in that first half, the Yankees will gladly take it in the middle of that order. Did the derby affect his swing? I'm sure it's possible. I think a lot of it has to also do with the fact that maybe pitchers started to make some adjustments on him, and he's just tired. You know, this guy has played every single day. He's a great right fielder defensively, and you know, there's a lot of pressure on the guy, and you could say, hey, that's no excuse, and it's not. I think he'll turn it around, though. He reached base three times last night, had a base hit. He had two walks. So if he could take his walks and get his swing in order, he'll be okay. I don't know if he's going to have, you know, a month like he did in April, May, or June, but, you know, this is a guy that I think the Yankees obviously are going to depend on if they want to do anything this year, make the playoffs, and go on any sort of run.
And, Jake, the Yankees have a big series coming up next weekend against the Sox. Three series left, 10 games left. The Red Sox have, I believe it's 52 more games to play. Is it a make-or-break series for both sides?
I don't think you want to get swept if you're the Yankees. It's hard to say it's a make-or-break series because, Jason, I think, as you just said, I think they still play each other 10 more times. So, obviously,
Well, after those, it'll be – it's 10 including those games, so after that it'll be 7.
Gotcha. So they still play 7 more times, which is obviously when you're within a couple games of the division, the Yankees right now are 3 games back. They trail by 2 in the loss column, more importantly. So if you're the Yankees, you don't want to get swept, and you want to take care of business when you're playing, you know, the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. But if you're the Yankees, you just got to win games right now. Don't concern yourself necessarily with the matchup of who you're facing. Yeah, you want to beat Boston. You don't want to lose. But to say it's a make-or-break series in August, I wouldn't go that far. I think there's still too many games to be played.
Jake, how about the New York Knicks? Now that the dust is kind of settled a little bit, where do you see them going with Carmelo Anthony? And what, if you were the general manager, would be the best option for the organization?
If I was the general manager of the Knicks, how much fun that would be. If I'm the Knicks.
Right now, would that be fun?
James Dolan would be paying me a lot of money.
Okay, there you go.
That would be pretty nice. But when you look at the Knicks, and I've said this a lot on my show before, and I'm a huge Carmelo fan, so I don't want this to sound like I'm just trashing the guy, but I think it's time to move on from him. And you know, the issue the Knicks are having is they are trying to move on from Carmelo Anthony, but they soiled their relationship with him in their previous tenure at GM with Phil Jackson. So now Melo's not talking to the organization, and since he has that full no-trade clause, he's saying it's Houston or I'm not moving. The one thing that I think the Knicks have done that's pretty smart, and Scott Perry, since he's taken over as GM, has done this, he pulled Carmelo's names from trade talks because the Knicks were not getting equal value or anything close to what the value of Carmelo Anthony, what he should be going for. So if you're the Knicks, I think ultimately you need to move Carmelo. You need to get young assets or draft picks and or expiring deals and move on from this guy and fully rebuild around Kristaps Porzingis. But the issue is if you're not going to get equal value for Melo, you're better off just holding on to him and putting the pressure on Houston to maybe give up more than they want, whether it's right before the season or it's a couple weeks from now or it's actually during the season near the trade deadline. Don't just give Carmelo away for nothing. I think part of the reason Phil Jackson's not here anymore is because he went to James Dolan and said, I want to buy out Melo. And Dolan is a huge Carmelo guy and said, you're not just going to buy out a guy we owe $54 million to that's still the superstar of our franchise. So I think at the end of the day, the Knicks to fully move on from Melo, that needs to happen. But if you're a Knicks fan, at least you have Porzingis. You drafted Frank Ntilikina out of France. You hope that he can come in and get some experience. And if the Knicks are not going to be any good this year, they have their draft pick. So at the end of the day, they got to go all in on a rebuild, and it starts with moving Melo. So if I was the GM, I would do whatever it takes to try and get equal value and trade Carmelo Anthony to Houston, because clearly that's the only team he wants to go to at this point with that full no trade.
Jake, I'll ask you this real quick. One of the first moves that Phil Jackson did, and I didn't like it at the time, I didn't even like it when they traded Denver to get Carmelo Anthony and got rid of, you know, Danilo Gallinari and Chandler and those guys. Do you think it was James Dolan that told Phil Jackson you have to sign Carmelo Anthony to a max deal?
You know, that's actually a really good point by Jason. And you know, people have argued that, you know, James Dolan said you have to sign Carmelo. If that's the case, then Phil Jackson never should have took this job in the first place. If he was mandated that he had been, his first big move as an executive was mandated from the owner, he shouldn't have taken the job in the first place. I really think Phil just knew that Carmelo gave him the best chance to win right away. Because if you remember, guys, every year Phil was the GM, the Knicks weren't supposed to be bad. You know, they went all in to try and make moves. They traded for different players. They traded for different point guards. You remember Jose Calderon was supposed to be the guy to run the triangle. We know how that went. And they traded for Derrick Rose last year. They signed Joakim Noah to that outrageous 4-year deal. This team was trying to win games and make the playoffs. And Phil's first year, he said, hey, you know, I'm coming off a 37-win season. That's the team I inherited. We want to be a playoff team. And the Knicks were horrible. They won 17 games and ended up tanking the season. You know, so, Jason, I think at the end of the day, you know, you could say, oh, well, Dolan's a Melo guy. He said, Phil, you got to force him to be here. But if that's the case, Phil shouldn't have taken the job in the first place. So I'm not excusing Phil Jackson for giving the guy a full no-trade. That's on Phil.
Jake Asman, co-host of the Asman and Budick Show on Sports on the Go 1. We appreciate you joining us today and appreciate the time, and hopefully you come back and join us soon.
Guys, anytime. Thanks so much. Big fan of the show, and thanks for having me on.
Big thanks.
Thank you, Jake. A lot of good insight there from Jake, Jason. He was kind of impressed with your question about the mandation of Nolan to go get Carmelo. Is that something you were thinking about all of the whole time?
Sometimes I do impress people. It surprises people, too.
I will say, you know what was impressive? The way you inhaled your breakfast, whatever those things
were. The egg puffs.
The egg puffs.
It's all about the egg puffs.
I mean, and not a lot of ketchup or a lot of ketchup on those?
No, not too much. I really wish we had hot sauce downstairs, but I'm not... You know, I can't afford hot sauce.
You can't afford hot sauce? You just need a little thing of Tabasco?
Yeah.
Really?
I make do with ketchup. That's what I'm a survivalist.
As good as it looked, I got to say the squash ruined it for me. But we'll try it again later.
All right.
But I guess the music means we got to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little NFL. Talk about, do we really care about the preseason? Do we care about Tom Brady turning 40 and the eulogy that was all over social media? we'll talk about that when we return.
That was very Dave Hunter of me.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Siplicki, filling in for Jeff Ball, Jason Wexler to my right, riding shotgun. And how did you... say you wanted me to recognize you as the producer and engineer on the board, David Hunter?
Scotty of the Enterprise.
Scotty of the Enterprise also.
I don't even get that reference.
You don't watch Star Trek?
No. Oh. Never seen it.
Wow. Jeez.
That's just...
We're old, Dave.
Wow.
We're old.
What you don't know who Spock is?
Captain, I know the Captain name. Kirk? That's about it.
Captain Kirk?
I know the name.
Yeah.
Old school, man.
Yeah. Oh, well. It is what it is, but we're live here on Sports Saturday.
Old.
You know, we are getting old, and, you know, if you want to chime in, please give us a call at 802-655-6672, or if you want to text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, give us a name and a town where you're from. We'd appreciate that as well. I tell you, Jay, I was terrified this week. It was Tuesday. I know you're going to find it hard to believe. I was working.
Yeah.
And my phone just starts lighting up. I thought someone ripped Sterling Shepard's leg out of his socket with the way the news was falling.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. You know, he's crying, cart, knee, ankle. Too much, man. It's too much. Why don't we let people do their jobs? Why the speculation?
Because that's the world we live in, and there's always quick to be reports because we live in a 24-hour news cycle now. You know, maybe he's going to miss the whole year, this, that, the other thing. And it would have been a huge loss for the Giants because he was a great player last year.
He's a very important cog to the offense. Dave, we got somebody on the line?
No.
No? Oh, okay. I got excited. I thought I heard the phone ring. Somebody wanted to talk to us.
It went click.
It went click. Oh, well.
And then it went buzz.
All right. Well, that's a shame. So, but if you want to try again, it's 802-655-6672, Sports Saturday. You know, again, we're talking about this segment about the NFL training camp. You know, Jason and I, both Giants fans. And, I mean, again, I was very concerned about the potential for the injury to Sterling Shepard. Thank God he's going to be all right.
And I will say this, when you hear that a guy's carted off, you know, you don't automatically think, oh, he'll be fine, he'll be good. So once I heard that too,
I thought it was over.
The cart's the magic thing for me. Once I hear the cart, I'm saying, all right,
yeah,
well, he's done.
We don't like the magic carpet rag. You know? There you go.
John from Burlington.
John, how are you?
John from Burlington here. Bernie, how are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. A couple things. I was listening. I know you're jumping on the NFL, but I'm a baseball fan. I wouldn't say I'm a Red Sox fan, but I would cheer for the Red Sox over the Yankees. And all this talk about Judge, I'm a little confused, I got to say. The first half of the year this year was the only time where he's hit for average and the amount of pop that we've seen. So everybody's talking about this slump that he's in now. Maybe this is the norm. Maybe we're talking about a guy who hits 250 to 270 with random pop, a la, you know, you said earlier, Adam Dunn, maybe that's who he is.
Well, you know, John, that's an interesting point, and, you know, I appreciate the call. But do you think that, you know, the extremes of what he's done from one extreme to the another, where's the happy medium potentially for Judge?
So that maybe that is 270, 275, not 330, not 180. I mean, everybody's like he's in a slump, and maybe this is, you know, getting back down to where he should be, you know, a realistic expectation for him. I mean, his first half, everybody was chiming in like he's Mike Trout with more power, and that's just not realistic. I don't know.
And I'll
hang up and listen.
No, hold on, John. I got one more for you. You said you were a Red Sox, you know, kind of fan, if you were. How excited were you with this rain delay against Cleveland, and then John Farrell coming out now that Chris Sale will pitch a couple of times against the Yankees in the upcoming 10 games they have against them?
Well, I tell you what, I was real concerned and confused that they would bump him back so he would miss all the Yankees series upcoming, but since then, either somebody got in Farrell's ear or Dombrowski or somebody, and they've tweaked the lineup, so now he will pitch in all those Yankees series. And hopefully, I don't want to say close the door on the Yankees, but let's get a little bit more separation with us.
John, thank you for the call, and I'm sorry that the Redskins are going to have such a long season for you coming up NFL-wise.
Go Skins!
That was John on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, a Yankee skeptic, a Red Sox fan, and recognizing his voice, he's a diehard Redskin fan. So,
does he love Kirk Cousins?
Oh, he does. He does, which is sad.
Kirk Cousins, to be honest, an interesting case. Definitely not a bad quarterback. Definitely would rather have him over Ryan Tannehill. And speaking of injuries, by the way, how about Ryan Tannehill? Might be done for the year. That's worse than Sterling Shepard, I'll tell you that.
That is worse than Sterling Shepard, but there, I don't know, maybe because, again, we're Giant fans. The news and the updates on Shepard were like, it was almost like when my wife was getting ready to deliver our first child, like the calls, and like, because we were at separate places, and she was like, you got to get here. And it was like, okay, Shepherd's down, Shepherd's crying, Shepherd's getting carted. I was just like,
but in all seriousness, that's the world that we live in. It's you know, you could send a tweet every 10 seconds.
Absolutely.
So for us to be worried and for reporters to be at practice updating it like that, it doesn't surprise me. It just stresses me out.
Right. But we don't need that stress.
No, we don't.
You know, I mean, you're clogging your arteries with that egg stuff. You know, we don't need that extra, you know, the sausage and the pork.
Hey, I put squash in there.
Yeah, you squashed that idea? Not funny?
No.
No, okay. All right.
Leave the jokes to Dave.
That's true. He is a Yankee fan today.
But the thing with the Yankees, it's counterintuitive, too, because you look at the moves that they made. For Sonny Gray, I think that was a great move, and Jaime Garcia, I think, was probably a very good move. And Yankees have a four-game losing streak.
It's all, I mean, again, they're not hitting the ball well. It's like when the Red Sox were struggling. They're not hitting the ball well, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just the ebbs and flows of a long baseball season. But I do want to get back to the NFL, because this is what we wanted to talk about. And the NFL in the preseason. Did you watch any of the Hall of Fame game?
Yes, I was at RJ's watching when we were hanging out with Rich, me, Brady, Arnie, Rich. We were all hanging out watching the game, and you know,
were you watching it?
No, I was watching it because I may or may not have needed the Cowboys to win by 2 points. You know, I may not have needed that 2018 win very specifically. You know, if I maybe had seen the Cowboys win by one, I might have just been not that happy about it, because I might have needed them to just win by two. You know what I'm saying?
Understood. What do we got, Dave?
Roger. No, hang on.
Come on. Start over, Dave. Start over. What do you got, Dave?
Yeah. Rod from Burlington wants to talk to the UVM basketball star. The icon.
Okay. Good morning, Rod. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bernie. Hey, just a couple quick things about UVM basketball. Have you seen any of the freshmen
I have this summer seen them play, and we are going to be very excited when they make their debut. They're very talented.
I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know. They get so many players, but it'll work out, I'm sure.
Oh, it'll definitely work out. I mean, you think about it, you know, there's 14 guys on the roster, and whether we like it or not, we don't hope it. There's always going to be, you know, some kind of injury, because that's just kind of the nature of the beast more often than not. And it does provide some flexibility if people need to redshirt. But, you know, the point guard they have from Toronto is tremendous. They have a couple of wings, you know, one from Chicago and one from Massachusetts that are good. And then a big guy who from Indianapolis who is just a monster. And with the guys they had who were redshirting, it's going to be another exciting year for Vermont basketball. What do you what do you think about their prospects this year?
Well, we may very well be better, but it's going to be tough to win 29 games.
Well, if they do that again, that'll be exciting. But you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we appreciate the call and you checking in.
Hey, I got one more thing.
Sure.
What do you think? I was in talking to the coaches, and they're pretty frustrated about the out of conference schedule, getting people to come here. I know it's, I know they're trying hard, but it's
yes,
pretty disappointing.
Yes, it is. You know, that's a great point, and it's been a conversation that we've had for, you know, a couple of years now. You know, when you have this type of success and your RPI is at the end of the year, I think it was 47, if you know, at the end of the year, who in their right mind that's a mid-major would want to come up here and play? If I'm someone from the Atlantic 10, I'm afraid to come here.
Oh, absolutely. But I can't understand why they can't get, like, these Northeast Conference and the MAC teams. I mean, these guys, you know, losing to Vermont on Vermont's floor might be an upcheck for some of these guys, but I don't know.
Yeah, you never know, and that's the hard part. And you know, Vermont is just struggling to get home games, and you know, hopefully they will. And let's just say, I guess I'd rather have this problem and fewer home games, because that means we're winning a lot.
That's true. Well, thanks a lot. Best of luck.
All right, thank you for the call, Jay. What do you got for me?
How about opening their season against Kentucky?
Why not? One of the few teams that'll play them. You got to take who you can play.
And it's interesting that he said that if they're on the road a lot, it might mean they're winning games because they're playing these mid-major schools that don't want to come up here. I think that's a compliment already, right? It shows you how good they were last year, that nobody's trying to come up here and play them because they might lose.
Right. Well, and again, if you look at this team that's returning from a 29-win season, you lose Kurt Steidel, and Dre Wills and Darren Payne, all very good older role players. You still have Lamb, you still have Trey Bell Haynes, you still have Henson, you still have Duncan, you still have so much talent that you know, it's a double-edged sword for the Catamounts this year. If they don't win it, you know, people are going to say, what a disappointing season. And you know, that's awesome, but it's to where the UVM basketball has come to. But it's also like, wow, okay, so if they go 14-2 in the America East and then have one hiccup in the last three games and win 23 games again, is that a bad season? You know how many schools at our level would just crave for something like that?
That's the thing. The expectations are so high, and you see it in professional sports with teams like the Patriots and the Cleveland Cavaliers that if they don't win, it's a disappointing season. But is the only way, and I've been struggling with this for weeks, I've been thinking about it, is the only way you can judge success of a program or of a professional team if they win that championship? What about the things you accomplish during the season and having some big wins? You know, what if they go in there and they beat Kentucky? Is that not already at least a cog in a part of a successful season machine?
Wow, that's a great question, because you could think, if they go in and beat Kentucky and win that game, is that the greatest win in program history? Bigger than winning an NCAA tournament game?
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is a great debate. Like the year they lost to Duke by 1 point.
Yeah.
If they win that game in Duke and snap their non-conference win streak, is that the greatest win in Vermont history? And, you know, people always talk about, the Syracuse victory. And, you know, again, then there was the play-in victory against, I think it was Lamar, if I'm not mistaken. I always go back to the, well, what about the win at Boston University when they, you know, the first time they got to the NCAA tournament? You know, because you got to do that. You got to break through that wall to be able to get to the NCAA tournament, and then they got to the tournament winner. So is that win on the David Hayne jump shot more important than the Syracuse win, because they'd never been there and that was the shot that did it? So it's just so many fun ways to look about the conversation. And you know what? I hope that on November 12th or November 11th, whatever it is, we're talking about Vermont beating Kentucky, because wouldn't that be a fun notch to put in the belt to have this conversation?
And you could look at it the other way too. You could say, all right, well, it's only the first game. And
doesn't matter,
you know, it matters just as much as another random game in terms of, you know, banners that you would actually put up there. But you have to look at these individual contests. You have to look at the fact that, one, Kentucky's going to take them on and is willing to play them as a step up, number one. And number two, even if they give them a good game, if they lose by 2 points, they really, you know, have this terrible game.
Right.
I was listening to this, and I'll never forget it, a few years ago about the NBA Finals. Jeff Van Gundy was talking. I don't remember the teams, but I remember the sentiment was this. He was asked if Team A was going to make a big adjustment because they lost to Team B by 2 points. He said, what big adjustment? They lost by 2 points. You don't always need to make this big adjustment. Sometimes, you know, you just lose because a shot misses to the right.
Yeah, so true. I mean, so true. I mean, you know, you could talk about, just because it's close to my heart, but Butler and Duke. You know, what huge adjustment if they had to pick up and play in the national, if they were playing 2 out of 3 on Wednesday, what big adjustment would you make on Tuesday? Nothing. Because if that long shot by Gordon Hayward is about a fraction of a millimeter to the right, that ball's in, and it's the greatest story in college basketball history.
And obviously there's always little adjustments that you have to make, because you're going to see something, all right, that you want to fix because, you know, this player scored 18 points or whatever, and we're going to try to limit him by trapping him or something. But there's not always a drastic
change
that needs to be made throughout the course of a playoff series or throughout the course of a game. If you're playing them close, sometimes you just miss a shot.
Yeah. Yep. But I want to get back to what you were talking about in terms of, you know, watching the preseason game with Rich and those guys. So, like, you know, all these games are started. And yes, I'll watch the Giants and I'll watch that game closely, but I'm not getting into the other games like I would in the regular season.
I was into it because I might have had a little money on it.
Betting on preseason games.
Preseason is the free season. Just ask Arnie Spanier.
Oh, boy.
That's why I was saying that 2018 win was very important. If, you know, they'd won 20-19, I wouldn't be as happy.
You've got it bad.
Oh, boy. Interesting. I have not looked at it from that philosophical way or that side of it.
Philosophically, I might have been very upset a few times throughout the course of the game.
I guess I was going more of the philosophy of the preseason being the free season. I do appreciate that that line.
It's definitely not free if you lose.
Right.
By the way, I'm back to zero anyway. I lost last night.
There was a game last night?
I bet on baseball.
Pete Rose, okay. Oh, no, you didn't bet on your own team.
No.
No, okay.
Nobody would put me in charge of a team. You know that.
Why?
Because he's a gambler.
Yeah.
Okay, that's there you go. First of all, he's out there talking.
He's not a good example with his eating habits either.
No, I ate very healthy. That had vegetable in it.
Yeah, and the goat cheese was organic.
The goat cheese was organic.
Plenty of time just adding a little music for choreography.
Choreography?
It was from the Burlington Farmers Market, the organic cheese. Have you had the food at the Lake Monsters game? That's some good food.
Yes. Of course it is. I like to hang out down the first base side in the little booth over there. They don't really have a lot of food, but they have a lot of refreshments. We got a couple minutes till you get to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. And, you know, when we come back from the 11 o'clock, we're going to talk a little NBA, talk about Doc Rivers, Seth Curry, Anybody out there wants to chime in, give us a call after the Sports Center at 802-655-6672 on the TikTok Jewelers guest line.
You can call before, but I'll have to put you on hold.
Yeah, don't do that. Dave sometimes gets a little grumpy when he has to put people on hold. We also have the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672.
And something we didn't get to, because we didn't get to fully flesh it out because we took a call, which we very much appreciate, by the way. But we didn't get to flesh out how many wins do we think the Giants are going to have, because they're legitimately going to be a playoff team again, I got to think.
I don't like the schedule. In my heart of hearts, I think they are a contender, but I always look at it with the half glass empty. So if we get 9, I'll be happy.
Fair enough. And Eli Manning's just, he's such a question mark.
No, he's great. I'm an Eli apologist. I love him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's having a comeback year. Take him in your fantasy league. Take him for the MVP. He's leading the Giants back to beat Tom Brady for the third time in the Super Bowl. Okay, I'll calm down now. Ooh, I'll calm down.
I wasn't expecting that. Oh, my goodness.
Big time Eli apologist.
You don't even have reservations about Eli?
No.
None?
Can't.
Is that your picture behind him?
That's our guy. That's our guy, man. You can't. He's done so much. Yes, he's broken our heart a couple of times, but he's also done a lot of stuff for us. But we can get back to this, you know, when we come back at the top of the hour after your wonderful SportsCenter. And don't forget to include my man Mitch Moreland a couple of times.
I'll do it just for you.
I appreciate that. Do me a favor.
If it has to do with sports, we're talking about it. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. The Sports Station, 101.3 ESPN.
I'm Jason Wexler. Mitch Moreland got it done for the Red Sox last night in the 11th inning.
2-2. Swinging a high fly left field. Back by the wall. And this ball is gone! A walk-off home run. Mitch Moreland. Red Sox win it 3-2. Can you believe it? The guy who just came off the bench in the ninth inning wins it with a walk-off homer off a left-hander. On a 2-2 pitch, Moreland being mobbed at home plate.
Joe Castiglione, Nicole, right here on 101.3 ESPN, your home for every Red Sox game all season long. Boston won its fourth straight, 3-2 over the White Sox. Two teams throw down again tonight. We'll have it right here on 101.3 ESPN. 6:25, the pregame show starts. Drew Pomerantz on the bump. He'll look for win number 11. He'll be opposite James Shields. He's looking for win number 3. It'll be his 12th time out there this season. Yankees got a 4-game losing streak. They came up short against Cleveland last night, 7-2. In his Yankees debut, Jaime Garcia struggled, lasting just 4 2/3. Unhooked for 5 runs. 4 of those runs were earned. Boston a 3-game lead over the Bronx Bombers and a 4.5-game lead over the Rays. Rays, by the way, shut out by the Brewers, 2-0. Lake Monsters edge out the Connecticut Tigers, 3-2 in their series finale. Vermont lead in the Settler Division now, 2.5 games. Hour 2 of Sports Saturday starts right now.
You'll get a toupee with some brains in it.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Party all the time, party all the time.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to hour number 2. If you have enough courage to stay with us for a second hour, this is Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Siplicki, filling in for Jeff Paul. Filling in for me to the right, doing a wonderful job. Jason Wexler, how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm still hungry.
Still hungry? Yeah, I believe that. And then on the board, the engineer, the producer, the Scotty of the Enterprise.
Yeah, baby.
The man who's playing his, my head is down because my team is swinging low. The New York Yankees, David Hunter. Dave, how you doing?
That was good. I use that in a promo.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Hey, if it involves the Yankees losing, use it any way you want.
It's all right.
What?
Because in 1978, the Yankees were, I told it last hour.
Yeah, okay, we don't need to do that again.
We're not worried. We're luring you into a false sense of security.
All right. Well, we'll see.
My cough syrup is working really good for me.
Oh, boy. All right, how about this, some NBA talk?
Well, you know, I just want to thank Jake Asman from First Hour.
I already did. I took care of that. Don't you worry.
Okay. And then then the second hour, we got Jack Cork coming on from NBC5, talk a little Shrine football. And then Bill Murphy, the Red Sox insider, at 11:30. So we'll get to those red hot
Bill
Red
Murphy
Sox.
From Groundhog Day, the movie?
That's Bill Murray.
Great movie, though.
Yes.
Good sports movie. You think golf is a sport?
It is a sport.
You don't think golf's a sport?
Just ask Seth Curry.
Come
Go
on.
Ahead, Jay.
Look at. I played high school baseball. I hit the longest ball off of Lenny Whitehouse, who made the pros, who actually struck out Reggie Jackson. I just put my bat out there and it went. Pshhh. That ball was moving probably when he threw it at me, probably about 98 miles an hour. And I hit it. Well, it was in motion. A golf ball, it's sitting still. Of course I could hit a golf ball. Like, come on.
Dave, when Lenny struck out Reggie, yeah. what spot of the lineup was Reggie in?
He was the fourth slot.
He was cleaning up?
Cleaning it up.
All right.
Yeah. My athletic prowess comes from the fact that one time I scored 5 points, and it was in the same game. Banked a three on the right wing and made a layup. Guys were getting on me at the gym yesterday for not playing D, but I was trying to tell them, like, I wasn't not playing D. They're just faster than me, and they get around me, you know?
Wow.
You know, that would be interesting.
It sounds like you take a lot of abuse from these guys.
I was. The kids were getting so mad at me, I didn't know what to do.
When you say the kids, like?
Other college kids that I was playing with, because usually, you know, I go home after my morning shift. I go home, take a nap, wake up about noon, eat some lunch. And,
say your morning shift, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's important to not drop syllables. The FCC wouldn't like that. So, I go home. I take a nap, as, you know, one does when they wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
You didn't have to get up that early this morning, did you?
I was up prepping for the – no.
Okay, good.
But I did get to the gym before this just because I don't want to go after. I got big plans after.
What do you got? Farmer's Market? Part two?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you wanted to come.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about next? Hey, probably busy too.
When?
No, you're probably busy.
I don't know. I'm always busy.
No, but I go and I usually play basketball in between my shifts. We were playing 2-on-2, and the guys that I usually play with, they seem to think there's this thing about me not playing defense. Now, it's not that I don't want to play defense. I'm just not very good. I don't know how else to tell them. Besides, hey, I tried. You know, he just drives around me every time. I don't know what to say. You know, I maybe take a charge, but I got to go to work at 3 o'clock. I can't take a charge.
Why can't you take a charge?
What if I get hurt?
As long as you don't get hit in the throat, you'll be all right.
That's true. I guess I don't want to take a charge.
Okay. That's fair.
But they were like, oh, you got to put your hand up. I was like, I did. He's like, you shot it before you got there. I was like, I don't know what you want me to tell you. If you're not on your guy and I switch over to your guy, it was a big mess. It got me upset.
See, that's where if, like, I guess maybe my mindset's a little different, I would just tell those people to go pound sand. It's not so politely.
Well, I just left because I was like, do I really need to
get upset over this? You don't need to, A, take that, and B, you know, basketball is supposed to be fun. So if they're telling you what to do when you're guarding a 2-on-2 pick and roll, hit the road.
And D, the cafeteria was still open. So.
That's
eating disorder. Too many egg puffs. That's why you can't cover the guy. All right? No, seriously, you're not fast enough.
Yeah, but
you're eating yourself out of the game, man.
There's this narrative, I guess, around the edge that I don't play D. I'm not very good. I can't guard anybody that well. I don't know what to say.
You said enough. You said enough. What you do is next time you go to play, you just be like, look, guys, I'm not good, and if you yell at me, I'm walking off the floor, and you're not going to have enough to play.
Well, I was going to ask them when the NBA called them, but I decided to just hold
you're
on.
Or you just be like, hey, how was your career?
Yeah.
J-Dub, your only chance of being a professional athlete is just keep eating, get to be like one of those 800-pounders, and we'll sit you in front of a hockey net, and we'll make you a goalie.
At that point, I'm sumo wrestling.
Oh, that's true. That's probably where the money is.
Let's get some actual basketball.
We're talking about hitting a baseball, golf, NBA,
boxing.
Seth Curry.
Can we talk about boxing?
No.
Okay.
Seth Curry.
Steph Curry?
Yeah, Steph Curry. Sorry.
I don't care about Seth Curry either, so it's fine.
Do we care that he played golf?
I don't even know what he was really playing golf for, because I don't care to know. Like, I don't care to know either when it came out a couple of years ago that Tony Romo was a couple shots off the PGA Tour. One, I don't really care about golf a ton in general, but I don't care about other athletes playing other sports and you know, how Steph Curry shot. Because
He shot well.
But I don't care.
I know, and I couldn't even come close, you know, to how well he played. And I kind of agree with you. It's kind of like the NFL preseason, other than Giant games, and Tom Brady turning 40. I don't care.
I guess, is that wrong of me to say, as a sports talk host, that I don't care about something with sports? But
why did it get so much coverage? That's what I don't understand.
Because he's Steph Curry. If Steven Adams was going out there playing golf, nobody would care.
Exactly. I know. I guess maybe to the victors go the spoils, but
he's the new golden boy. And something interesting that Colin Cowherd was talking about was the difference in public perception between LeBron James and Steph Curry, and how we're willing to let Steph Curry off the hook and we're not willing to let LeBron off the hook. And what do you think about that? Do you think people are too harsh on LeBron and not harsh enough on Steph Curry? Or
absolutely, because all everybody's going to ever remember, not how great LeBron was, not how great he took that first team to the NBA Finals. They're always going to remember the decision and how much of a debacle that was, and him leaving and him going and him always, because he's that good, getting what he wants. And that's not fair, because, you know, Mr. Curry got drafted by Golden State. He was a great story at Davidson. Oh, he wasn't good enough to play at the higher level. He took Davidson to the Final Eight and was one shot away from getting to the Final Four when they lost to Kansas. He's not going to be good enough to do anything in the NBA. And, well, he's only won a couple of titles and just signed a $200 million contract. But he just has that baby face image.
And part of it's, I guess, the relatability factor. You're a little bigger than me, but we probably don't liken your body type to LeBron James. You're not 6'8", 260. But Steph Curry's a guy that kind of looks like most people, right? About 6 feet tall, maybe a little bit taller. But he could, you know, his main thing, and it's not that he can only do this, but his main thing is that he shoots the lights out, right? So plenty of people can go out there and shoot the lights out, myself included.
Dude,
again, not
you,
a defender.
You said you made 5 points career high. And 1-3 was off the glass, so you can't shoot the lights out. You do shoot the lights out. Maybe you hit the lights and knock them out.
No.
But you ain't making the shot.
I just got to get enough touches. That's
now you need touches.
Yeah.
Well, in order to
when I get the ball 4 times a game, and you know, the other kid thinks it's okay to shoot threes from half court, and he was better than me, but he's not going to pass me the ball. I can't make the shot.
Right, but if you want the ball more, get a stop, play some defense.
Oof. But I can't. I just told you that.
Okay, so you're in trouble.
but anyway, there's this relatability factor to Steph Curry that might not be there with LeBron James. But if people are going to give criticism to LeBron James, you have to criticize Steph Curry. If you think there's a cockiness and arrogance to LeBron James, there's certainly one to Steph Curry.
But it's different. It's a different type of cockiness. You don't see
Does LeBron turn around before a shot goes in?
Because he's not that good of a shooter, no. But, I mean, like, I will say I did kind of, as you know, Steph would always, like, you know, pound the chest, point up, all that kind of stuff. And he is that good. And, you know, I don't know. I think there's a little more likability, especially now with all the Kyrie Irving trade talk that LeBron is talking about. You know, is he the bad guy? Is he the good guy? That kind of stuff. It's just...
Well, LeBron's a 13-year-old girl on social media. I'll agree with that, but
really, see, yeah. I don't follow any of that stuff. So
I don't pay attention, but it's enough because it's brought up to my attention. I'm not
okay.
Going out there and looking like what LeBron James is up to, what rap song he's singing on Instagram or whatever. And the Steph Curry LeBron James thing, the Kyrie Irving LeBron James thing. The interesting thing is we still don't know anything.
Yeah, because nothing's gonna happen.
You think
have you gone to that trade machine thing yet that I told you yet?
Not yet.
If you like the NBA, and I know you do, you have to do this because you will play on it for hours. Like, I don't understand why a trade hasn't happened, because I've worked out about 15 different trades that can get LaMarcus Aldridge to Cleveland, Kyrie to New York, Carmelo to Houston, and then San Antonio gets like Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson. I just don't understand how it can't work out.
By the way, the interesting thing, the two biggest stories right now in the NBA, we have to agree, right? The LeBron-Kyrie feud and Carmelo Anthony to Houston, right?
I was going to say Michael Jordan calling out Kobe better than LeBron, saying that five is better than three in my book. But we are. I would agree. I'm kind of over the LeBron, like Carmelo. I'm done with.
I was just going to say the interesting thing about both of those situations that I just mentioned.
Yeah,
it's all speculation. We don't know anything. Nobody's come out and talked about it. It's I guess a sports talk host dream because all we could do. Is speculated. It's so interesting that nobody is willing
like
to talk about it.
Like the trade machine. It's all speculation. You can go out and you can figure it all out. Because if I can figure it out to make trades that are pretty equitable because they also do the...
10% of the contract thing.
They do the contract and they also do the schematics for wins, losses for your teams. And anytime you like move these... quote unquote superstars, you know, everybody's like, oh, staying even +2, -2. So it's not a big deal. So you're right. The speculation is huge. I don't understand. Either put up or shut up. Get it done.
You wanted to talk about this, and I guess we could. LeBron James not considered as good as Kobe Bryant in Michael Jordan's book. Should we necessarily care about his opinion? Because
Should we care about the greatest player of all time's opinion?
Well, I was just going to say, because I don't know how much he cares that much about what Kobe Bryant's doing right now because Kobe Bryant's retired. I think he cares more about what LeBron's doing and keeping the distance from LeBron to himself if he wants to still be considered the greatest player of all time. Maybe he's just trying to bring LeBron down a peg so people still think that Jordan's the greatest player of all time. Because as good as Kobe Bryant is, there's not... this widespread thought process of, oh, LeBron James might be better. Kobe Bryant might be better than Michael Jordan as much as there is LeBron James might be better than Michael Jordan.
Yes. I mean, again, I guess I'm such a believer in loyalty and loyalists like Kobe and Michael playing with the same team their whole career. Like
that factors in for you?
Yes.
Why LeBron's not as good as... either one of those.
It shouldn't, but it does.
Let me ask you this, point blank. Is LeBron better than Kobe Bryant?
Yes. But I don't.
So is Kobe Bryant the third greatest player ever? Where do you put him?
Well, I mean, again, I don't even know if LeBron's number two.
Fair enough.
You know, because with Michael and Jabbar...
Larry Bird too?
Well, no, Larry.
No,
I love Larry to death, but I don't know if he was as good as those guys. But the game is so different, and it's so more open, and it's again speculation and so much fun to talk about. Dave, are you rushing me off the NBA because you don't like to talk about basketball?
No, I like basketball today.
Why just today?
I just need a distraction from what's bothering me in life.
Really? I'm here for you, Dave. What's bothering you in life?
I have a problem with people who don't know how to hit little white...
golf balls?
No, baseball.
Oh, baseball. That'd be the Yankees. Yeah.
I can fix it, but they don't listen.
Oh, well. So they sound like a lot of women. Uh-oh. Sorry.
Put the wood to the good part of the ball and it'll be all right.
All right. Anyways,
how's
I guess
cough syrup.
Very good. Very good. When we come back, we got Jack Cordy from NBC 5 coming on. We're going to talk a little Shrine football. All right, baby. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Siblicki, filling in for Jeff Paul, Jason Wexler to my right. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk to our next guest.
I am too. I'm not going to call you J-Dub, though.
It almost slipped out.
No, not going to do it. And then Scotty of the Enterprise, the producer, the engineer on the board, Dave Hunter.
Ooh, yes.
Dave, if you could patch to our next guest,
I love
Jack Cordy of NBC 5. Jack, how are you? Jack?
How are you doing today?
Good, man. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Glad to be here on this this Saturday as we gear up for the fall sports season coming up somehow.
Yeah, don't remind me. I mean, yes, let's get ready to go. Jack, you know, first and foremost, we got the Shrine game today. Give us some thoughts on that.
Well, you know, this is just one of the coolest things every summer, in my opinion. This will be my third one covering it here. And, you know, last year they made some significant and dramatic changes to the Shrine game because, I'm not going to lie, the New Hampshire team tended to dominate the Vermont side, and it just started to get old. I believe they had won 15 games in a row, the kids from the Granite Staters. And for those who don't know what the Shrine game is, it's a football game that takes place every year that features the best high school, graduated high school seniors from Vermont and New Hampshire, and they meet up on the football field kind of for one last hurrah in their high school colors. But last year, as I was saying, is the New Hampshire team was forced to, the players were forced to either choose to participate in the East-West All-Star game in New Hampshire or the Shrine game. In the past, they had been able to participate in both, and that had produced some lopsided games. New Hampshire had won the last 15. So finally, Vermont got on the board last year and won 50-2. So this year, we'll have to see what happens. That game gets started at 5:30 today down at Spartan Stadium in Castleton.
So Jack, you know, you talk about the massive changes, and, you know, it almost like were the changes, and obviously being a Vermonter, I want Vermont to win every game, of course. Mm-hmm. But it was such a lopsided victory for Vermont. You know, is what is New Hampshire thinking? Like, is there any more changes coming to it? It just seems like they can't find that happy medium yet, because you were right on in terms of New Hampshire had a nice little run going, and then they decided to make some changes to try to make it more competitive. But it seemed it almost went the other way.
Yeah, it's like they just can't find something where there's a competitive game. I mean, I'm looking at these last couple scores here. I'll give you the last one. Last year, 50-2. The year before, better, 24-12 New Hampshire. But then it was 42-6, 43-0. So it's like these are all blowouts. And obviously you can expect some offense in these games. But, yeah, I don't know what the answer is here, because there's no real other game for Vermont, but, you know, besides this. You know, you want the best of Vermont playing, and they can't find that happy medium. So we'll have to see what today is. You know, maybe New Hampshire can put up a fight today, and then we can reassess where this game is at after the game that's played in just a couple hours here.
Well, and you know, Jack, you think about it a little bit. Okay, so now New Hampshire, they have to choose between playing in the you said East-West game, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so then right there, there's potentially, what, the top 80 kids already gone from New Hampshire?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, then they have to choose, you know, one or the other. So, and they vie or they opt to play in that because it tends to be better competition for them. I mean, I don't wanna put down Vermont athletes. We have some superb athletes here. Don't get me wrong, but New Hampshire, that's why it's been kind of a lopsided. You know, they have more metro areas. They have more kids to choose from. So it tends to be, and they tend to want to stay in state. This game has now been moved out to Castleton. I believe I read that it had been played at Dartmouth for the majority of its existence. But yeah, now it's in Castleton. And that's not very close to New Hampshire. So, you know, they want to stay close. They want to stay in state and play against their own in the East-West All-Star game. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of hope that just for some happy medium, you know, obviously the bigger picture here is just to raise money, and it's a great thing for obviously what it stands for. But in general, you know, you want to see a competitive game out there, and it's fun when Vermont and New Hampshire gets together for not just this, but the Twin State games, basketball, soccer, all those, you know, so, and those tend to be more competitive than this game has been.
Yes, and it is interesting because, you know, just to even, you know, peel another layer of the onion for New Hampshire, if I'm a New Hampshire player and I'm got the choice, I'm kind of torn. Yeah, I want to play in the East-West game because, you know, I might know people on the other side of the state or whatever, but I also want to represent my state against another state. I mean, you know, is that kind of unfair to those kids to make a choice? And let's say I'm player number, 110 in the state and for New Hampshire, and you know, I don't get to play because in a game because everybody makes their choices and it just kinds of sugar out. It just seems, I don't know, it just seems a little more complicated than it needs to be, or am I looking into it too deep?
No, I mean, I think you're correct in saying that. You know, you bring up a very good point there. You know, having to choose which one, and you would think that there would be a competitive thing there because Vermont, New Hampshire does have this friendly rivalry. You know, these two states are the twin states, and we're very familiar with each other. All these high schools are. All these kids have grown up in the same region together, and they, you know, they pay attention to that stuff, especially nowadays with social media and everything like that. It's so easy to keep up with what's going on where you are not located. So with this whole thing, you know, you would think that there is an interesting dynamic there. Like, hey, you know, yeah, I play for New Hampshire. Like, I want to go and beat up those Vermont kids. You know, I want to beat them up on the football field and show that, you know, the Granite State is the place to be for football. And then on the other side, you know, there's got to be such a nice feeling for Vermont to finally get on the board last year. When I spoke with them last year before that change became official, after it became official, but before the game, they said that, you know what, we don't care that these are going to be quote-unquote lesser kids from New Hampshire. We just care about showing out for the Green Mountain State and getting that W, and that's what they went out and did. So, no, like you said, it's interesting to see, and I'm very interested to see when I go down there today. I'll be there. I'll be heading down there in a couple hours to see the atmosphere. Obviously, it's great. But just to see what kind of a show we'll get on the football field between Vermont and New Hampshire.
And it was Vermont's first victory in a game since 2000. So who are some players for Vermont we should be keeping an eye out for?
Well, Griff Stahlcup is going to be starting. The starters were released last night. Griff Stahlcup had a sensational year for Burn Burton. I mean, on offense, he'll be starting at quarterback, and then Jahi Bullard for Bellows Falls. I saw that kid run a bunch. He'll be starting at running back. Alex Bond at wide receiver, played for Rice. I mean, it's loaded. The Vermont team, obviously, the best of the best are coming out there. So on offense, you should expect fireworks. And then on defense, you know, you look at a guy, Hunter Padenug from Windsor, had a sensational year. Colin Urie's playing safety from St. J. I mean, he played in the title game. Colin Urie, he was a quarterback. He plays both ways, and he's a ball hawk on defense. So, I mean, it's just keep your eye on those kids. They'll be out there playing, you know, with their heart and playing for Vermont for the last time. And it's always an emotional time for these kids out there because, you know, they're on to college, and it's such a life-changing time for them, and they go out there and they just want to give it their all. And it's always so much fun to play in front of so many fans because they really do get a great experience at Castleton. There's always a bunch of people out there. Hopefully it's a good day. I haven't checked the weather, but I heard my meteorologist told me yesterday that we should be good for tonight in Castleton. So I'm hoping that holds off, and it should just be a very fun experience in Castleton for the parade. That's first. I believe that starts at 3:00. And then the football game kicks off at 5:30. Just always a special time here in Vermont.
And Jack, will this get you ready to go for the fall season that starts in a couple weeks?
Can you ever really be ready, Bernie?
No.
You know how it is. Once the grind starts, it never stops. And then once it stops, even then, it's never really stopped here. But it's an exciting time, you know, when the high school season gets underway, and then, you know, we get college, for me at least, starting up here too. UVM begins classes in like 3 weeks, I believe. So it's an exciting time. We just need to relax for this month of August, hopefully get some better weather. It's been better and not been as rainy for us. So hopefully we can enjoy these last couple weeks, and then we're back in the high school season. I know you're looking forward to that though, huh? Busy time for the AD over there.
Oh yeah, time to get ready. But you know, all good things must come to an end at some point, right?
Exactly. And it's hard to not relish these last couple weeks here in Burlington and the Champlain Valley, especially, you know, as we know, winter is coming, as they like to say, and it's on. You can sense it here. Even there's a chill in the air now that we're in August, and hopefully it hangs on as long as it did last year. That's for sure.
Yeah. Jack Cordy, NBC5, thank you so much for taking the time. Safe travels down to Castleton, and we'll look forward to your coverage tonight at the Shrine Game.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, fellas, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Jack Cordy.
Jack Cordy.
Jack Cordy. Yeah,
all sorts of free stuff.
I know. Jack Cordy, NBC5 on the TikTok Jewelers guest line right there. The Shrine Game, you know, coming to be played tonight down at Castleton. Always a fun time, but again, a better cause, you know, more so than the game and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be an exciting late afternoon, early evening for some football fans in the state of Vermont and New Hampshire.
J-Dub?
Anything, Jay?
Got Jay?
No.
You agree?
Said it pretty good.
Okay. You're shaking your head, so I didn't know if that means you agree with me or, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Okay, good.
Maybe you should be on TV like Jack.
Are you saying I'm good looking?
You know, you could shake his head and get an answer out of it. You can't do that on radio.
No?
No.
All right.
I thought you were saying I was good looking.
No. You could go over.
Are you saying
that.
I'm not good looking?
You couldn't even concentrate over on sports on TV. You couldn't even. You did too many news bunnies.
What?
News bunnies.
Oh, guys, we're drowning right now.
Drowning?
Yeah.
I don't know what news bunnies are.
Man.
Dave can explain it to you.
It's one of those.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So, you know, getting ready to come back, and, you know, I know we still have a couple minutes before we go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bill Murphy, a Red Sox insider. I know Dave's excited to have this conversation. Talk about those red hot Red Sox. Oh, what are you doing to me?
It's called a technical snafu. The
come on,
cough medicine's getting at me a little bit.
Come on, right, Scotty. You're killing me. You know?
Need the lithium crystals, Captain.
I got to get you into Star Trek a little bit, man. You got to watch a little.
Never seen any of it.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You can see it on NBC5 on their MeTV channel, 302.
Yes.
A little cross-reference promotion there, yeah, for our TV guy.
All right. Well, it's time to abandon this ship. And when we come back, we'll talk to Bill Murphy, the Red Sox insider.
Did you say ship?
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Sports Saturday. We're winding down here our couple of hours, a local radio show. Bernie Saplicki filling in for Jeff Paul. To my right, Jason Wexler, not J-Dub. I can't call him J-Dub. And our engineer, producer, Scotty, our Mr. Everything on the board, playing a little Macarena, David Hunter on the board. And now we're going to get to something I've been looking forward to all day. I know Dave Hunter has not. But that makes me feel that much better. Next, we have on our TikTok Jewelers guest line, Bill Murphy, the Red Sox insider. Bill, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Great to be with you. And by the way, is there a reason he's not looking forward to it? Does he have an N and a Y on his hat?
Unfortunately, he's not wearing anything Yankee-wise today. So, you know, it's been a tough week for him if he's not doing any of that. And I don't get any standings or Yankee stuff sent to my telephone. So, yeah, he's struggling right now, Bill.
Is he a descendant of catfish?
I don't know, Bill. Are you? Or Dave, are you?
Back in my pitching days in high school, they used to call me cat crap.
That's as close as we got. All right, Bill, so let's get right down to it. John Farrell wins his 400th game last night as manager of the Red Sox. You know, he's always placed under a little fire here and there. He's going to have some tough decisions when Dustin Pedroia comes back. What do you think he's going to do with that lineup when PD comes off the DL?
Well, first of all, let me just comment. I questioned his managing last night, and I was wrong. Why are you putting Moreland in and taking Ramirez's bat out of this lineup? I don't know. But anyways, I know it's extra innings. I know you need defense. But Hanley's got a better chance of hitting a homer. But anyways, what he's basically said is that he'll find a place for him. And I think what that means is, and I guess I'll offer all the positions you might see him at, designated hitter, first base, second base, shortstop, third base, and left field. So I think that he'll play a little bit of each, and I think he'll play a minimum of 9 out of 10 games.
So, you know, you talk about the trade. Obviously, Nunez has been tremendous. Devers has answered the call in terms of coming up and being production. What's it going to take to get the killer bees of Bogarts, Betts, Benintendi, and
Bradley Jr.
To really start hitting the baseball on a consistent on a basis? I mean, it's like the pitching was great and there were no bats, and now the pitching is better or not as good and the bats are coming. When's it going to all come together?
Here's what I think, and I talked about this in March and on many of the stations that I appear on, and what I basically said was that it's a glass half empty and is a glass half full. And that I think with all of those players you just talked about, Betts has the high side, and you have to give him more benefit of the doubt, because even now, and by the way, I never wanted war, and I still don't fully understand it, but I know that Betts is one of the best in baseball, even with a year like he's having right now. So I think he's a little exception. But with the rest of them, you're not sure still this far into their careers who they are. And I think that what you're seeing is that they're not established yet. And although they've shown signs for a full season even that they can do certain things, I'm not sure we know who they are. And so when it's full, they're coming through the way they can. And when that glass is half empty or less, I don't know if we fully know who those athletes are. Now, having said that, I projected, and Yankee fans laughed at me, that, and I said this, you know, even when the Yankees were in the lead, that the Red Sox would win this division by 10 games. And I still feel that, or it'll be close to that. And it's got more to do with the Red Sox than it does with the Yankees. Joe Girardi should be a candidate for manager of the year. He's gotten so much out of this team. They're ahead of their curve. And the reason this race is anywhere near close is because of the Yankees' success and the Red Sox failure. The Red Sox have not played up to where they should be this season, and that glass half empty analogy probably is one of the reasons. But you know, I don't know if we know these players yet, and Betts has proven to even take that one step further with his full numbers. But when they tell me his WAR is good, I'm more comfortable.
Let's look at the glass half full for Rafael Devers. Do we think that he's going to stay the rest of the year based on how he's been playing recently? Does he deserve to stay the rest of this year? And is it beneficial to a young guy like that to be up at the major league level if, when Pedroia comes back and Nunez is going to be in the lineup, he might not be playing every day?
I think he's going to play most days if he is like that when Pedroia comes back in a couple days. I think that he's just proven, I mean, there's just no way, I think at this stage, that you can take him backwards. The Red Sox made a mistake, I thought, with a number of players, and it all starts with Jackie Bradley Jr. and the way he was yanked around. And I know to this day he doesn't understand it, meaning he thinks he should have stayed all those times. But I think his development would have been slowed if he had stayed in the big leagues. And I think a great example of that is Blake Swihart. When he was forced into the catching situation because they had roster problems with injuries, I think he lost developmental time at the minor league level, and he's never become and probably never will become the catcher that he could have been. And I think that, you know, with all these players, that's the part you got to look at the most. Scouts are telling me, and I'm talking about Red Sox scouts now, I'm talking about scouts from all the different teams, that this guy is going to make it and he's going to probably stay and that he's ready. But it's phenomenal. I mean, not only is he 20, he looks like he could play for South Burlington High School.
Bill Murphy with us on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com here on Sports Saturday, talking a little bit about Rafael Devers. I should have started my last question with this, because when you said Joe Girardi was candidate for manager of the year, Bernie was shaking his head. He had a little bit of a confused look, but I absolutely agree with you. So I just want to go on the record by saying, Bill, that is a good take. But something else I want to know as we switch a little bit to the pitching side of things, who's the number two starter for the Red Sox? Is it David Price or is it Drew Pomeranz?
Well, when Price is healthy, it has been Price. But right now, who you can count on is Drew Pomeranz. The Price thing is, in many ways, beyond description. I have a theory, and I feel fairly strongly about it, that I go all the way back now to 2004, and that's 14 years ago when Bernie was still in high school. And you look at that season, and when it was over, Pedro Martinez signed a contract elsewhere. And the reason he signed a contract elsewhere, I'm convinced it didn't matter what the Red Sox offered him, he was going. Because he recognized that he could not be second fiddle. And when Curt Schilling postseason passed him and became the ace, a chip that's on Pedro's shoulder has to be visible. And without that chip that he is the ace card, he's unable to pitch. I think there's a little bit, or actually a lot of that in David Price. And I think that with Chris Sale around, he knows he's never going to be the ace again. And, you know, Bernie works in schools. He sees kids like this all the time. Certain kids can play in certain situations, and certain kids are driven by the fact that they know they're the best and that, you know, that just drives them. I think Price is not comfortable in his own skin. I think it has to be more to do with the fact that he's no longer the ace. And then you throw a lot into the wound, like you've never won a postseason game and as a starter and all that stuff, and it really adds up. And I think that David Price right now, you know, lashes out in situations when he just feels that he's uncomfortable and he's going to have to get his attention being something else other than the ace.
So then what happens to him if you have all these problems? Because it almost, you know, I agree with you. He looks so uncomfortable. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And, you know, is he the right fit for Boston?
Well, there's not much choice at this stage. That's the problem that you have next. And the reason you have that problem is that, first of all, he's damaged goods right now. And, you know, no one's going to touch him for that reason. Is he hurt or is he not hurt right now?
What do you think? Is it a real injury?
I think there's a real injury. I'm not sure how bad it is. In other words, I think there's something barking. But I don't know if – I haven't heard the bark yet. I've been around the clubhouse. I haven't heard any noises. But I think that he probably has a problem, but I don't know how bad it is. And they're trying to judge the waters. I mean, why else did he call us over last Saturday night? That was a bizarre situation. And then he didn't tell us basically anything new, maybe I could have handled it differently. Other than that, he said nothing new. Now, I'm sure when he went into that session, he thought he was going to say more, but his skin wouldn't let him, and it was... Boy, if Eck hung around a little more, you know, we had a chance to talk this out. And then he said, you know, the contradictions that he uses. He says, well, I don't listen to anything anybody says, but Eck's getting better on the broadcast. You know, he's not a bad guy. I can tell you that. Everybody that knows him says he's not a bad guy. But I don't know if, you know, tweeters, you know, our funny breed. There's not many major league tweeters that are of his caliber. I'm not talking about tweeting now. I'm talking about performance on the field. And I think that he's a guy that unquestionably is uncomfortable today. And you know, here's the story. You have to cheer for him if you're a Red Sox fan for two reasons. Number one, you want to win. And number two, the only way, if you really do want to get rid of him, he's got to pitch so good that he can opt out after next season, and it'll be worth the money to him because someone might pay him.
Will he pitch again for the Red Sox this year?
Well, if I'm wrong about the injury, and it's, yes, first of all, I think he will. But if he doesn't, will he have surgery, and will he ever pitch for the Red Sox again? That's the other question.
So if... Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say, Bill, I was with you, and I was on the record of saying it on Wednesday on our weekday show, which you can catch Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 here on 101.3 ESPN, that I didn't know how much of Price's injury was legitimate, because we saw this with Pablo Sandoval, maybe that David Price was, you know, he was in a bad state with the organization. And I think it was convenient for them to say that he was struggling with the same injury that kept him out in the beginning of the year. But, Bill, I'm with you. I don't know how badly Price is injured here. But you talked about how Price is upset at playing second fiddle to Chris Sale. But I want to ask you this. Is Chris Sale the Cy Young winner in the American League?
Well, obviously we have almost a third of the season left. And, you know, without that, yes, he is. You know, without that being played, if it was given today. I think the one thing you have to give Price and the Red Sox organization the benefit of the doubt is look up Price's last appearance and what it looked like. He had been pitching so consistently and doing so well, and then he had a major bump. And why did he have that bump? Of course, I'm not sure. You know, I think I know why Sale had his latest bump. He had his latest bump because he was out there without his security blanket, Sandy Leone. You know, Sandy didn't catch him, and Vasquez caught him, and he got hit all around. Now, I was looking to see what was going to happen to Porcello because Leone had caught all his starts as well, and Porcello was normal. He pitched a great first inning, and then and he just, you know, I said to Porcello after the game, I said, you know, you have such a good first. What's the difference? He just said location. He says, I stopped locating. And I was, you know, I just don't want to put him through too many trials. I was going to ask about, did you lose focus? Did the game speed up on you? By the way, the one thing I did want to mention to you guys, we haven't gone there at all. I got to pull my glasses up. Hold on a second. I did a column for the Northeast Sports Network this week, and I did it at the two-third season mark. The offense is definitely the problem, guys, not the pitching. And these are just projected numbers of home runs and RBIs of this lineup last year and this. We'll start with home runs. Mookie Betts, 31-27, meaning 31. Last year, he's projected for 27. Hanley, 30-27. Jackie Bradley, 26-18. Xander Bogaerts, 21-10. And Pedroia, 15-10. And see, that's a big drop off. And then everyone dropping off.
Yeah, that's less. That's 30 less.
Yeah, without Ortiz, who had 34. Now, if you look at RBIs, it's even worse. Ramirez, 111-60. Betts, 113-93. Bogaerts 89-66, and Bradley 87-60, and then you take away Ortiz. So no wonder they're not, you know, offensively doing the job. And I'll throw you one more. Give Pedroia a standing ovation. He had 74 RBIs last year, and he's projected for 81 this year. But, I mean, guys, those numbers, I think, are the biggest thing that why the Red Sox have underachieved. I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that's it.
No question about it. I mean, if you're not scoring the ball, if you're not scoring runs or scoring the ball, you're not going to win.
You're sounding like John Becker now, scoring the ball.
Bill, we appreciate the time today and, you know, look forward to having you down the line. Bill Murphy, our Red Sox insiders, thanks for the coverage and we'll talk soon.
Okay, take it easy, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Yankees won 27 World Championships. Where'd he go?
Yeah, that not helping you. Not helping you.
Not very good today.
No, yeah. No, not very good today. But interesting facts about the numbers offensively for the Red Sox, and if that holds to fruition, going to be a scary August and September for Red Sox fans.
And again, I said it before, but it's counterintuitive with all the moves that the Yankees made. Look at how good the Red Sox are doing. They still need more pitching.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. When we come back, tie a little bow on this show. Get ready to have a nice Saturday
filled with lots of eating.
There you go.